Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter and PWTorchLivecast.com and also PWTorch.com. It is Tuesday, April 12th, 2016, and normally we've got Jason Powell with us on Tuesdays, but we're breaking up that routine a little bit. Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net will be with me on the VIP after show. And we'll be getting his thoughts on Raw, answering your email questions. And I'll bounce, I'm sure, a few subjects off of him that are discussed here on the free livecast portion of the program. Instead, my co-host today, live from the Cauliflower Alley Banquet in Las Vegas, Nevada, is Jim Valley. Let's not waste any time, and let's get Jim Valley onto the program right away. And by the way, we'll be talking with Jim about both Monday Night Raw and what's going on in Vegas. Jim, welcome to the livecast. Welcome to the Tuesday edition.
Hey, Wade, thanks for having me. I'm deep in the heart of the Gold Coast Casino here. Can you hear me okay? I know the signal hasn't always been great.
Yeah, we actually hear you just fine.
Okay, good.
Tell us a little bit about what you have, who you have met, and what is going on at the Cauliflower Alley convention banquet. That is an annual event where a lot of longtime wrestlers and people involved in wrestling and fans get together.
You know, this has been going on for many, many years. You know, it started in the era of Mike Mazurki and Lou Thesz. And it used to be a closed club where it was wrestlers and boxers and people from Hollywood that had, you know, wrestling connections or made movies together and things like that. You know, there's pictures on the walls here of Joe Louis and all of the legends and ghosts. And over time, the Cauliflower Alley Club has sort of evolved. And, you know, now it's open to fans and people involved in wrestling on, you know, all kinds of different levels. So it's, you know, it's more of a convention. But if you want to compare it to, you know, Iowa where you've been and or a fan access or WrestleCon or something, you know, it skews a little older, which is good. It's a little more old school, you know, so if you're looking for the flavor of things gone by to enjoy, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's all of the conventions that I've been to, I found are a little different, but there's something about this one that's a little more intimate and, you know, a little more lax. You know, there's not long lines. Yeah, there are things to buy, but not everybody's hawking stuff. You know, you just kind of sit around or stand around and talk wrestling memories and things. And it's a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed myself so far.
Excellent. Saturday, I'm sure you'll be talking a lot more about this. Get in a good plug, Jim, for what you are doing on our latest addition to the PW Torch Livecast lineup on Saturday mornings.
So it's called Saturday Morning Wrestling, and it's a harken back to when you were growing up as a kid, whether you watch Superstars or WWE Mania or Memphis Wrestling or AWA or Portland or Florida or Georgia, wherever you grew up. And, you know, it used to be that, Saturday was the wrestling day, and it was either on Saturday mornings or Saturday nights. And it's just sort of a nostalgia show. I mean, this past week when WrestleMania was on, you know, we had a couple people live from WrestleMania. And if things are breaking on Saturday, we'll go current. But by and large, you know, it's just sort of a feel-good nostalgia cast. I mean, after a week with the live cast of your analysis and Bruce and Jason and Pat and, you know, so many other people and Torch staff, that I figured, you know, by Saturday, what's to be said and what's been analyzed has really been thoroughly vetted, which the Torch does a great job because there's so much content. And I figured, you know, Saturdays, you're mowing the lawn or you're cleaning house or you're out, you know, watching your kids at soccer or baseball or what have you. And it's just sort of a lighthearted thing. And we've had some fun interviews. A couple of weeks ago, we had Rhonda Shear on from USA Up All Night. You might remember her as the timekeeper from WrestleMania 10. And you know, she was hilarious. She was so much fun talking about her experience with WWF back in the mid-90s and, you know, just things like that. We try to keep it light and talk about territories and or whatever you grew up with. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun. The reaction has been great. The interaction has been great with fans. And, you know, looking at the numbers, it seems like there was definitely a desire for that with Torch listeners and subscribers. So, I mean, it's been a lot of fun, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly. And this being able to come here for Cauliflower Alley has been sort of an extension for that. I've been making some contacts. I've talked with Diana Hart tomorrow. I'm very excited. I get to talk with Lance Russell, the announcer for Memphis Wrestling, who just turned 90 years old. That's kind of the cool thing about being here is that, you know, if you saw the WWE Hall of Fame and, you know, all the crazy stories that Stan Hansen told and Ric Flair told, it's like we're losing this whole generation of outlaws. And I think one of your Twitter followers, one of the things you retweeted that, you know, in just a few short years, rather than telling stories about running the roads and going out drinking beer and bar fights and crazy things like that, it's going to be stories about massive Twitter wars. It's a different generation, and that's not good or bad. It is what it is, but we're losing the outlaws, and you can come here and sort of celebrate and enjoy those outlaw territory days of the carny history of professional wrestling.
Very good, Jim. I'm super excited to hear the interviews coming out of Cauliflower Alley Banquet, especially if the Lance Russell interview comes through, which it sounds like it will, and we'll hear that on Saturday. I'm a huge fan of Lance Russell's announcing style. He and Jerry Lawler, Jim, were so instrumental in the long-term success of pro wrestling in the Memphis territory. No better interviewer who got across, who, by the way, helped carry green wrestlers to passable interviews and reacted just so perfectly to Jerry Lawler and all the heels and baby faces that went through the Memphis territory. So he is he's something special, and it's very cool that you're going to have a chance to interview him.
As I get older, you know, and I wasn't exposed to Lance when that was on, when Memphis Wrestling was on, but now that I watch it on YouTube, and I think I've seen just about every episode, you know, I used to be in the Gordon Solie camp, and now, you know, I think there's a case to be made that Lance was the greatest announcer of all time. He didn't know all the holds, but he was great at getting across the stories, and he had tremendous credibility with the audience, with advertisers, with everybody. I mean, he's just amazing. And not only is he a throwback to wrestling, but he's a throwback to broadcasting. I mean, it used to be that you would have local shows. You'd have the afternoon movie and the afternoon talk show on your local TV station. And you'd have the kids show host who would do a cartoon show locally. You know, everybody has a Bozo the Clown or The Simpsons made famous. Krusty the Clown, who was based on Rusty Nails in Portland, Oregon, when Matt Groening was growing up. And there's this tie-in to, as media has shifted and pivoted, you know, with the cable explosion even. And now with over-the-top streaming, you know, wrestling kind of parallels broadcasting and changes in the media landscape as well. And me, with my background in radio and broadcast, I am also fascinated by that. So that's why I'm excited to talk to Lance Russell tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's fantastic. We're going to talk mostly on this program about Monday Night Raw, but if callers want to call up and ask about Cauliflower Alley, we certainly are welcome and open to that, too. We got a lot of people on hold. Last night's Raw was one of the better Raws that I remember, one of the more exciting Raws to talk about, and I think we saw a lot of promising things. We'll see if the rug gets pulled out from under us or not in coming weeks, but let's enjoy the moment while we can. A couple good weeks of Raw. I did a nearly one-hour review and commentary on the show last night for VIP members on the Wade Keller Hotline. Also, yesterday, as usual, James Caldwell hosted the post-game show, and for over 90 minutes went in-depth with callers on last night's Raw. So certainly, if you haven't heard that yet, we welcome you joining James Caldwell, listening to James Caldwell's show, and he was joined by Pat McNeil to discuss Raw last night. But let's go to a quick break, our first break of the show. When we come back, we're going to start rolling through phone calls for the duration of the program. Jim Valley, host of the Saturday Morning Wrestling edition of the PW Torch Livecast, also the VIP Wayback Playback program with Pat McNeil, where he reviews old wrestling shows from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s in real time, along with Pat McNeil, 1 hour at a time. and also host of the Total Chaos radio show during the Attitude Era, which you can find episodes of as a PW Torch VIP member on our PW Torch VIP audio feed. So, Jim Valley, a lot of experience covering wrestling, and we'll get his take on last night's Raw also, and your phone calls right after this. If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com. We have a sponsor of the show this year that has been real popular with our listeners. We continue to get these monthly figures, and the subscriptions to this sponsor continue to grow, and we get great feedback from listeners on this. And that product is Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that includes licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. You have until the 19th each month, so we're less than a week away from this month's deadline to subscribe and receive that month's crate. When the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. So make sure to head over to lootcrate.com and enter coupon code PWTORCH to save $3 on any new subscription. Again, that's lootcrate.com, coupon code PWTORCH. Loot Crate is like a friend who knows what you love and surprises you with an awesome present every month. They also ship to 27 countries, so check out their site. I'm sure you're among them. Loot Crate is more than just a subscription service. It's also an entire community of fans who share their experience and interact with each other around the unboxing of each month's crate. And by the way, these crates contain well over $40 in retail value guaranteed every month for just $20 a month or less when you sign up using the PW Torch coupon code. Every month there's a different theme and all items are curated around that theme. Themes are inspired by major movie and video game releases as well as pulling from pop culture franchises we all know and love, such as Star Wars, Marvel, The Walking Dead, The Legend of Zelda, and many more. The April theme reads as follows. Spring is springing, so grab a map, your bag of holding, and some friends. April theme is Quest. We're forming a party to explore everywhere from far-off kingdoms to worlds hidden within worlds with exclusive items from Labyrinth, Harry Potter, History Channel's Vikings, and Uncharted 4. And of course, there's a t-shirt and a loot pin to help equip you for your adventures. Check it out, lootcrate.com, coupon code PWTORCH. We are back with Jim Valley as today's co-host. Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net will be joining me for the VIP exclusive after show. That will be posted exclusively for VIP members shortly after we conclude recording that this afternoon, right after the live cast. It'll also be available for ProWrestling.net members also. If you have a question for either Jim Valley or Jason Powell, and of course me, also send your email question right now to pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. That is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. All right, Jim Valley of Saturday Morning Wrestling is with me. Let's dive into the phone calls right away and begin with area code 330. 330, you're the first caller today. What have you got for Jimmy?
Hi, how you guys doing? It's I'm Anthony calling from Youngstown, Ohio.
Excellent, Anthony. What have you got for us?
Hey, Wade, I want to say, hey, I was the one who bothered you on Twitter last week to put me on the show. Just wanted to
you're first this week.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. I gotta say this. I got one quick comment, and I got a question for you. Comment is, I gotta say, Raw has been pretty good the last 2 weeks. It feels fresh. It feels just like something. It feels like a new show from just like 3 or 4 weeks ago. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but this feels different. Like, I don't, and it's, I even think if they bring back the authority, it just feels better. But my question is, I kind of look at WWE's roster and I look at the NXT roster. I only see for an opponent for Lesnar. Okay.
Yeah.
There's only one guy. There's only one guy I truly believe that I could believe somehow beating him, and that is Finn Balor, because he just has this toughness about him, like almost like a Chris Benoit sort of thing about him. How do you guys feel about that?
Jim, what do you think about Brock Lesnar opponents, and how about Finn Balor? I think his size would certainly be something that Vince McMahon would look at and maybe rule him out, but what do you think?
I think that if Brock Lesnar is going to lose to somebody, he's going to lose to a major star that we have, that he has plans for. So, I mean, you know, he's going to lose to Triple H or maybe The Undertaker, depending on what his situation is. John Cena, and obviously I think number one on the list is probably Roman Reigns. I mean, does Finn Balor have the skill and the charisma and everything that it takes to have an exciting, credible match with Brock Lesnar? Yeah, I think he could figure it out. But as far as the plans, I mean, we'd have to see Finn come to the main roster. We'd have to see Finn get over with the crowd with obviously his entrance and his charisma and his ability in the ring, and then see what his plans are in the future. I mean, Brock isn't going to lay down for just anybody. I mean, a lot of frustration with the WWE product right now is that things don't mean anything, and sometimes plans seem random and uncertain, like with the outcome at WrestleMania with Shane McMahon and The Undertaker. Is it possible? Sure, but I think we're a long ways away from that for it to happen. And is Brock still going to be around by the time that Finn Balor is ready? We'll have to wait and see. I think it's a good idea, but sort of like tending the garden, that plant's going to have to be watered and cared for before we could ever harvest it.
Yeah, I think when you look at the roster, especially just looking at the lineup on Raw last night, Anthony, I don't see a lot of wrestlers who overlap between a wrestler fans would want to see against Brock and see as credible, and wrestlers who Vince McMahon would think would be credible against Brock, who he'd want to invest that time in. I think Brock is best used as a special attraction, only wrestling a few times a year. And right now it's a short list. If they build up Kevin Owens, I think that can work. I think Samoa Joe on the NXT roster, especially the way that he looked on NXT TakeOver, I think that could work. Shinsuke Nakamura is my number one choice to see a match against Brock, strong style versus Brock, in the ultimate fighting style. So I think there's some guys out there. AJ Styles, maybe, against Brock would be along the lines of a Daniel Bryan, in the sense that I think, like you said about Finn, I think there's a sense with Finn Balor that he's tough. I think AJ Styles wrestles tough also, and seems like he could hold his own. And you know, the phenomenal forearm, the drop kick, the submission holds, I think that might be believable and intriguing because of the size difference. But there aren't monsters. WWE is not good at pushing beasts. I don't think that anybody's itching to see Braun Strowman or even, sadly, necessarily Rusev against Brock. And so it's a limited list, Anthony.
Oh, Mr. Cutler, what about Corbin? You think Corbin could be?
I'm not there yet with Baron Corbin. I like Baron Corbin, but as Matt Morgan described him last week. By the way, I recommend people check out. What was the term he used? You're laughing, Anthony. Do you remember?
I didn't hear the interview yet, but he brought up Matt Morgan for some reason.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I always think of the Survivor Series match when he was with Team and Brock or something. I was just like,
yes.
I just brought it to my mind. Okay, go ahead.
he said something. He called him. Oh man, I can't think of the term. He said that Baron is a little flabby and quite tall, and he had a good, more concise term than I'm coming up with at the moment for it. But Baron's not there yet. Oh, I was going to say, I really recommend people check out last Thursday's interview with Matt Morgan. Somebody on Twitter.
I'll check that out.
Somebody on Twitter had just said that it's fascinating. A lot. There's a lot to learn in terms of what Matt said about being a big man wrestler in an industry that's, as Jason Powell said, kind of shrinking in terms of the talent coming through the turnstiles of WWE and the indie scene. By the way, we do have a story up on PWTorch.com right now with a list of the latest recruits who have been signed to the Performance Center. You'll definitely want to check it out. I mean, you should be checking out PWTorch.com on your phone or desktop or laptop every day, or our app. Just search PWTorch to get that free on your iPhone or Android. And tons of news every day, but that list of recruits is interesting to kind of stay ahead of the game. So, Baron Corbin has to prove more to me before I think he'll be ready for that. But, I mean, he's probably on the top 10 list of prospects, or I didn't want to say he's probably on the top 10 list right now because the list is so short of guys who are ready, of someone who I think fans would be interested in paying to see wrestle him in a year or so.
But I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I kind of think they've kind of gone to that well of having Lesnar face Cena and Taker, and maybe they have a match with Orton in the future. I think, but it's just Finn Balor. Like when I see him, when he comes on NXT, I feel like this guy is tough as nails. Like even though I know he's only I think he's less than 200 pounds. There's just that sort of like I could believe this guy beating up somebody. Like I remember, I said Benoit, but I said the name I shouldn't say. But I remember him beating up Taker on an episode of SmackDown, and I believed it.
Yeah.
And he was like a foot shorter than Taker, and something about him. I feel like this guy is a big guy. I could believe beating Lesnar.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't want to see the match. I'm just saying I don't think with Finn Balor's size and how little time he's out of the main roster to prove himself to Vince that he's someone we should look at realistically in any kind of a near horizon, being somebody who would face him. But I'm a huge fan of Finn Balor, though, no doubt about it. Let's keep rolling through calls. We've got a long line of callers. Thank you, Anthony. Let's go to area code 516. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, this is you. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello. How you doing? This is Darnell from New York.
All right, Darnell, good to hear from you. What have you got for us today?
First off, I want to say, Wade, I've been a big fan. The first time I heard you, it was on Stone Cold's podcast. Ever since then, I've been a big fan listening to the podcast. You guys are doing a great job over there.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I was just calling in. I wanted to know, I was sitting down, I was watching Raw, and I was thinking, for the last 2 weeks, the show has been just the product as a whole. I feel like it's just been so much better since before WrestleMania. I was wondering if you guys think maybe they were doing some of the things they were doing on purpose. So then after WrestleMania, when they had this turnaround in the product, they would react to it a lot more. They would be more receiving to it, and they would enjoy it a lot more, considering that before WrestleMania, it was just so bad. Like, the shows were terrible. And for the last 2 weeks, I watched Raw last week, and I was actually excited to watch Raw again this week because I knew that it wasn't – if they gave that to me last week – and they gave this to me this week. Now, since there was such a great show last night, now I'm excited to see what's going on, what's going to happen next week. What do you guys think? Maybe some of it was done on purpose, kind of just to...
Gotcha, Darnell. Yep. Let me go to Jim and get his response to that. Jim, what is going on? I mean, 2 weeks of Raw, are you on the same page that Raw was a huge step up the last 2 weeks? And if so, any chance that Darnell's theory that they were tanking it on purpose or trying to create a contrast with their post-WrestleMania plans?
I don't know that I'd give them that much credit, but it's certainly a viable theory. Here's my thing. Is a lot of times on a Tuesday after we watch Raw, it's like we tend to look at it through a lens of Tuesday morning. And, did something exciting happen in the moment? And I think a lot of fans remember the Monday Night Wars when it was the most exciting time ever to be a wrestling fan, when people were jumping ship and it was just amazing. And there was surprise after surprise and so much talent. And it was just an amazing time. And, I'd love to go back to that time. Everybody would love to go back to that time, but it's a different time. And I think people sometimes judge a show based on the lens of just one night as opposed to what is it going to lead to? What is going to be the payoff? And, I think two shows is a great start, but for this whole thing to be compelling, it needs to go somewhere. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to a good pay-per-view. I mean, if this leads to something, you know, if next week's show, if there's something on this week's show that leads to next week's show that eventually leads to a culmination at one of the pay-per-views, then I think we're talking about good shows as opposed to just what happened in the moment. I mean, yeah, it was exciting to see the Bullet Club, but, you know, we don't know what's going to happen to them. I mean, how many times have we seen a really cool debut or a really cool moment, like with the Nexus group, and then it peters out and goes nowhere? You know, poor Wade Barrett, how many times did he do so many really cool things? You're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. This guy is finally going to be a star. He's got it together. And then they do nothing with him. Alberto Del Rio. I mean, the WWE history of the past 10, 15 years is littered with, you know, tremendous moments and tremendous debuts that eventually peter out because those people lose to somebody, or Vince forgets about them, or they just lose interest, or they looked at somebody the wrong way. So did I enjoy last night? Absolutely. But, you know, I've been watching this stuff a long, long time to know that it takes more than just one or two good shows. So talk to me in a month and I'll tell you how good last night's show was. Am I hopeful? Yes, but I'm also kind of jaded.
Yeah. Well, I think what is encouraging about last night's show is that, first of all, the reaction in our poll is just overwhelmingly thumbs up, and mostly people strong thumbs up to the program, and it's one of the best poll responses we've had to run in a long time. I think WrestleMania, the build-up to WrestleMania, WWE did not intentionally tank. I don't think they're in the business of doing that. I don't think they're self-aware of their weaknesses enough to even do that. But I do think that they get caught in a certain locks. They lock themselves in to a certain lineup, certain wrestlers being pushed. And what happens in WrestleMania season between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, as much as we look forward to it because it's a culmination of a lot of top feuds, and if everybody's healthy, we kind of sometimes know where they're going with certain things, or we think there's one or two big options. We're not sure which one they're going to take, and we find out. It's exciting, and we also know that WrestleMania is history in the sense that it is looked back on more than any other show WWE produces. It's a marker in the road for the best that WWE can present, or at least what they believe is the best that they can present. That said, it's liberating the day after WrestleMania because Vince McMahon isn't locked into pushing legacy names who maybe are part-timers, who he thinks help define the WrestleMania brand and make WrestleMania stand out from all the other pay-per-views. It's liberating, and I think a lot of people who have fresh ideas, or a lot of wrestlers who Vince is eager to push but didn't feel that they were built up enough for Mania, get an opportunity. And I think we saw more the last 2 weeks than any previous year that I can remember. That sense, and our first two callers have expressed it, that sense that something new and exciting is happening. One of the things that I think makes pro wrestling most enjoyable is, and it's been kind of my go-to analysis for the past year, has been that fans like to follow wrestlers on a journey. That it isn't just about seeing a star or seeing a match. It's those matches having consequences. And it's feeling that every 2, 3, 4 months you can look at what a certain wrestler has done and said, all right, what they've done had consequences. They were there. Now they're here, either higher or lower. What I think we saw the last 2 weeks on Raw is instead of everybody on a treadmill standing in place, just talking about what's going to happen at WrestleMania somewhat predictably, and I think it got stale, what we're seeing are a bunch of wrestlers embarking on a journey. Bray Wyatt is on a journey with Roman Reigns right now. What's going on with those two? It's a little bit like R-Truth and Goldust, but at a main event level. Are they going to get along? Is that what's happening? Can Bray Wyatt be trusted? We learned from AJ Styles and Chris Jericho that sometimes a heel can, that somebody can pretend to be someone's friend, but not be in the end. Will the fans embrace Roman Reigns a little bit more if Bray Wyatt sees Roman Reigns as cool enough to hang out with? I'm intrigued by that storyline. Apollo Crews, The Bullet Club, Gallows and Anderson, Sami Zayn, AJ Styles still relatively fresh. Now we have Enzo and Cass yakking it up with the Dudley Boys, holding their own on the microphone and going to war with them. We have Charlotte as a new era leader of the Divas division at the same time that they announced the retirement of Brie Bella. I think there is so much going on that is new, that, and Cesaro returning, and he's on a journey now. Where will he go this time around? Will this be his chance? As Jim said, you can be cynical, and you have a whole history to draw from as far as this goes, and Jim pinpointed them, I think, very well. But I think why people are excited is, one, they picked some good talent to bring up in feature, and number two, they're on a journey that we can follow. It feels like when you watch Raw, something is happening. If you're a fan of The Walking Dead, you know that fans of The Walking Dead graphic novels get upset when there's a whole other season at the farm? Oh, we want to move on to the next thing. We want to move on to the governor. We want to move on to this. And you want to be on a journey. You want to think that your hour invested in Walking Dead is leading to characters advancing, relationships developing, falling apart, getting stronger, people being in peril. You don't just want to watch an episode where nothing, after one or two episodes, nothing has changed. You just see a bunch of zombies getting killed. And sometimes WWE gets in the zombie killing business or the authority talking for 10-minute business, and nothing really is advancing. And I think it's not just the talent and the freshness of it that has people excited about Raw, but it's also the sense that, hey, we're about to watch things happen that will have consequences that could lead to new stars on the rise. So I just think a lot happened on Raw last night. I mentioned the VIP membership. Our last caller did also. You can hear my nearly one-hour analysis and rundown of last night's Raw, and I do that every Monday night after Raw, along with the every single day Wade Keller Hotline, where I cover news, review TV shows, and answer VIP member questions at length. I have done it for, I think, 6 years now without a day off. I mean, literally every single day. You can hit refresh on our VIP RSS feed on your iPhone app or on the Android app. Any popular, there's many popular podcast apps that I've tested and used for our VIP audio feeds. And all you do is every day, whenever you want to hear an audio show, hit refresh. And not only is Wade Keller Hotline there, but other shows I host include 1 or 2 hours of The Fix with Todd Martin, one of the top veteran pro wrestling and MMA analyst, by the way. At the end of every episode of The Fix, we do some MMA talk. Depending on the news, it might be 40 minutes. If there's not a lot of news, it might be 10 minutes. But it's really the only weekly dose of MMA discussion that we do on a regular basis on the PW Torch side of things. But with Todd Martin on staff, it would be wrong to not make that a weekly staple. His analysis is so strong with MMA also. And then Bruce Mitchell, over 25 years, our senior columnist and audio analyst, 2 hours roughly per week with him, along with a lot of other shows that cover current events with the current staff. James Caldwell and Greg Parks on the weekend did 2.5 hours of a draft of WWE talent. They put the entire roster out there and did a draft. They competed in a draft with each other to try to assemble the best roster for a possible brand split. Just really fun, 2.5 hours going in-depth, explaining their picks, pros and cons of passing certain people up and taking others. Really fun episode. Also, we have a ton of retro content. Jim Valley, my co-host today, Total Chaos Radio from the Attitude Era, is a regular feature on the VIP website with Attitude Era guests, live callers, and it's just fascinating to go back in the time machine and hear real-time analysis from familiar voices. Talking about wrestling's past, and that also happens with John Arezzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show from the late 80s through the mid-90s. We're currently running shows from 1991 exclusively for VIP members. I'm a guest on that show regularly, talking about the last episode we put up. We're talking about this new character, The Undertaker, and Vince seeming to really like him. And where will Undertaker go? Is it a short-term fad, or does it have legs that'll last a long time? It's fun to go back and see how accurate we were and just hear callers talk like they do on this show about the current wrestling scene. So not only do we have you covered in terms of top-shelf, immersive coverage of today's wrestling scene with a ton of audio, but also a lot of retro audio, plus 10 years ago VIP audio shows put up on the feed regularly also to catch you up on what was going on 10 years ago if you weren't a member back then when we were doing audio just about every day. Plus ad-free access to our website, which is mobile-friendly and desktop-friendly, 28 years of archives of back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, and much more. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's the sign-up page to give you, or that's the info page to give you all the details you need, pwtorch.com/govip. It's a great time. It takes 90 seconds to sign up. You can do it on your phone or on your computer. Check it out, pwtorch.com/govip. Jim Valley is my guest for the remaining time on the live portion of the live cast. And then after that, immediately, I'll be recording the VIP after show with Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. And we'll talk about last night's Raw and answer email questions. Our email address is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Back to the phone lines we go. Let's go to, if Matt is still on hold, let's go to Matt from North Carolina, VIP member in the VIP Express lane. Matt, welcome to the show. What have you got for Jim and me today?
Hey, Wade, first of all, I was going to say I've been a VIP member a really long time, and I remember when you first started doing audio, you'd have like a two-week run at the daily updates, and like a month run. Like, oh, man, 2 months. Like, the fact you've been going 6 years is like amazing. That's worth, like, the whole membership right there, just the fact that you can get that daily update every day. So I just wanted to give you congrats on that. You just mentioned it. I think it's amazing.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. The other thing I was going to bring up was with, you know, the change and everything going on with, you know, people getting into Balor and Kevin Owens and I guess like the new school wrestlers, I guess we'll call them, is it kind of feels like when Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart kind of changed things over in, you know, back in the day when Vince was looking at like Sid and Lex and stuff like that, and the crowd kind of got behind guys who they liked and Vince kind of went with them. It kind of feels like we're seeing like a rebirth of that, I guess, with what CM Punk did and Daniel Bryan. But Daniel Bryan and CM Punk seem to have kind of like paved the way, I guess, for what we're seeing now a little bit, where the crowd just got behind those two guys and would not, you know, take no for an answer. And they kind of pushed into the main event. And now it seems to kind of open the door for a lot of other people like AJ Styles and, you know, Balor and Kevin Owens, and et cetera, et cetera. So I was just wondering what you think about that. And then I have one other comment for you.
Sure, sounds good. Let me go to Jim first on that. Jim, what do you think of that? Is this another CM Punk, Daniel Bryan renaissance of sorts? And did they, as Bubba Ray might say, pave the way for the Sami Zayns and AJ Styles that we're seeing now?
You know, I was thinking the same thing when I was watching Raw last night, and I was looking at some of your Twitter followers, you know, talking about, you know, just, I mean, remember when there was the brand split and JBL was on top and there were so many people who just... We're not ready for that, not JBL in particular, but there were a lot of people on the undercard who just needed a lot of seasoning. And, you know, there's, you know, think about it, there's sort of a lost generation there that had they gotten a little bit, maybe more time to grow as performers and as athletes, you know, they may have had better careers, but Vince brought a lot of people up who quite frankly weren't ready and they fell by the wayside. And, you know, now, I mean, it's very easy to complain about things and be critical, and certainly there's room for that. But when you look at the talent that is now filling up the roster, I mean, it's crazy. And I kind of compare now, it's not going to be the exact same thing, but, you know, back in 96 when Vince still had the cartoon era and Stone Cold Steve Austin was really percolating and getting a lot of traction with fans in their 20s and late teens and early 30s. And, you know, fans wanted to move away from the TL hoppers and things. And I feel like that there's a surgence, there's a bubbling underneath with the fan base that wants to see the Finn Balors and wants to see the Sami Zayns and wants to see that NXT, more of an NXT style product on the main roster. And I think that when that dam finally breaks and it gives way, I think we will see a bit, not an attitude era style in resurgence, but I think we will see a bit of a pop and a bit of an increase. But I feel like there's like this underground that, you know, is gently pushing Vince in this direction. And I think that when it finally gives way, I think we will see a bit of a resurgence, certainly not at the level of 96 going into the late 90s, but I think we're seeing that the vibe does feel the same, like the fans are pushing and clamoring for a certain direction. And I think at some point, you know, Vince is usually late on things unless he has to be, but at some point we will see a bit of a resurgence in wrestling based on a more athletically based in-ring performance. I mean, you still have to have the promos, you still have to be the complete package, but I think that's the way we're moving right now, and that's the direction that we're eventually going to end up at some point.
Yeah, I'm not going to be cynical about where things are going to go, or I'm very hopeful. And I think there's reasons to be excited and also reasons to be cautious about what we are seeing right now. I like that we saw a Shinsuke Nakamura video package promoting his appearance on NXT tomorrow night on the regular NXT TV show. I still think they're working out the dynamic between NXT and WWE, where the NXT brand relates to WWE, whether they acknowledge it or don't acknowledge it on the main roster, on the main shows. We're seeing things kind of worked out as we go, but we are in such a better place right now in terms of the talent being introduced compared to the, as Jim Valley was referencing, you know, the Jim Heidenreich, Kenzo Suzuki era of John Laurinaitis' talent acquisition era. That was just awful. And when you talk about a lost generation, I think that was a lost era. And when it came to opportunities to develop that next round of talent, and we saw a gap where WWE just kept going back to Orton versus Cena, every other feud, because they didn't do a good enough job building up talent. Of course, you can say they should be doing a better job building up opponents for Brock Lesnar, who's a highly paid, valuable asset, and that doesn't seem to be a priority for them. But heck, I mean, we haven't even seen the return of Seth Rollins or John Cena yet, but we have Sami Zayn and Cesaro back, and I mean, Seth Rollins is going to be Orton, Cena, and Rollins are going to add a lot of fresh matchups to the mix in terms of what they have to work with this summer. And when I say I'm cautiously optimistic about things, I'm also a little worried. Some of that caution comes from what happens when Cena and Orton and Seth return. What happens to Sami Zayn and AJ Styles, who I can't believe as of this moment is going to headline in a world title match one-on-one against Roman Reigns. I mean, some of the things that that came up that have developed since WrestleMania, I don't think people were expecting, especially given that AJ lost to Jericho. There are a lot of things I loved about last night's show. I thought Jericho and Dean Ambrose was really good. I thought Roman Reigns and Bray was intriguing, all kinds of stuff. So we'll continue to get into more of those details as the show progresses and in the VIP after show. Let me go back to Matt, though, and get his follow-up question for us.
Yeah, no, I think you guys are right on with that. I was going to give you a fun fact, Wade, which is I've heard you mention about how WWE goes to commercials like in the middle of a match and how much you hate that. I don't like it either. But something I noticed is that they didn't do that until after WCW went out of business. If you look at the Raws before then, they always had the matches between the commercials. They never went to a commercial during a match at that time.
I didn't know that, or I had forgotten. That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, kind of interesting fun fact. Because I used to watch, I was a Raw guy back in the day. My friend used to watch WCW, and I remember returning to one time, and they went to a commercial middle of a match. And I was like, what? It like really caught me off guard. And then I noticed WWE started doing after WCW went out of business. I was like, oh, man, they're doing that WCW thing. I hated that. One last question. I don't know if you've heard about it. Do you know why they booked Roman Reigns and Triple H to have a DQ match at WrestleMania, and then they didn't do the match as a DQ match? Have you heard anything about that? Did they change plans? They just decided they didn't need it? But originally that was a DQ match, and then at WrestleMania they didn't do it.
That's a good question. No, I don't know. To be honest, I hadn't even thought about it, but I'm not even sure my brain was working particularly well by the 7-hour mark when the bell rang to start that match. Jim, any comment on that or anything else Matt had to say?
No, I think you pretty well covered that one.
Yeah, okay, cool. I do want to move to our next caller then. And we got another VIP member in the VIP Express lane, and that is Nelson calling. Nelson, where are you calling from today?
Hi, I'm calling from Bronx, New York.
Excellent. What have you got for Jim and me today?
Well, I just want to say, first of all, I love the new time slot because now I'm able to call the show before I'm about to walk out the house in 10 minutes to pick up my son from school.
You're not alone. We got great caller support since we started this time slot. And I want to remind people, 1 o'clock Eastern on Thursday will be my new Thursday time slot also. So 1 o'clock Eastern on Tuesday and Thursday. And besides that, Pat McNeil, by the way, we thought he might shift earlier in his time slot. He's actually shifting later. He will be on at 8 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night with Drew Galloway. Plus, Jim, my understanding is you will be on that show also, having a big week here on PW Torch Livecast, reporting live from Cauliflower Alley.
I won't be able to make that show because they have the banquet at that time.
Oh, okay.
So I'll be enjoying the Cauliflower Alley banquet. I wasn't aware of the time shift at first. So with the time shift, I'll be I'll be enjoying as they honor Trish Stratus and Arn Anderson and so many other people here at the Cauliflower Alley reunion banquet at that time.
Excellent. Well, we'll have to wait till Saturday then to hear all the details on that. A real fun few days here in Vegas. Say hi to Mick Karsh for me, by the way. He's out there. We want to get him back on the show soon.
There's a lot of Minnesota guys here. The High Flyers are here. There's a ton of people. A lot of your crew. It's hard to get interviews because you've talked to so many of these people already, Wade. Way to ruin it for me.
Well,
sheesh.
Hey, you can bring a new approach with some of the same guests. So anyway, I want to underline this, and then I apologize, Nelson. We'll get back to him. I got off track here. But 8 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, a special late start for the Wednesday PW Torch livecast with Pat McNeil. So as they say, check local listings because we are undergoing some post-WrestleMania schedule changes. I'll be by not only 1 Eastern on Tuesdays, but also 1 Eastern on Thursdays for Interview Thursday. So, Nelson, we're glad you can join us. I hope we didn't miss the window for you to talk to us after that long diversion. Go ahead with your question or comment for us.
Well, no problem. But this is pertaining to you, Mr. Keller, and Mr. Valley. Mr. Valley, I love your Saturday morning show. It's a great show. In fact, on your very first show, I sent you a question. You read my question, and then you kind of like crumpled it up because it was pertaining to the present and not to the past, and it was about Roman Reigns. You know, Roman Reigns, you know, like he's eye candy to women, and I think he's surpassed Lex Luger because he's a three-time world champion now. I think that, in my opinion, and I don't know if you guys agree with me, this is my question, is in order for Roman to really get over, I mean, does he need to really, he needs to really be himself and not be scripted? And also, which I think is a good idea, you know, and also I think he maybe should change his wrestling gear and maybe his theme music. And if maybe he could have a manager or spokesperson, like, I mean, you mentioned it before, like maybe like Paul Heyman, or how about even a guy close to his family, like Rikishi, or even Rosie, his brother. I mean, what would you guys think that he could be his bodyguard?
Nelson, good. Yeah, the Roman Reigns situation right now, Jim, is I'm really intrigued by it. And I haven't said that I've been very intrigued by Roman Reigns recently, but the dynamic with Bray Wyatt going one-on-one, apparently, with AJ Styles, I don't know where they're headed with him. I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm the guy. You know, the commentator saying everybody here who's held titles, it's nice, but it doesn't count until you hold the title and Roman Reigns is the champion. What do you think they're doing with Roman right now, Jim? What do you have a sense or a prediction? And what do you think of Nelson's suggestions in terms of new music and new ring gear, maybe even a manager?
I think that Roman Reigns is paying for the sins of John Cena, that in this era, the hardcore fans don't want to be dictated to or have the perception that management is the one choosing the face of the company and the standard bearer for the company. There's so many passionate fans that they feel that they should be the one to choose. And I think that after a decade of John Cena, that Roman Reigns is paying for that. And you know, you could give him music, you could give him Paul Heyman. I mean, they already put The Rock with him, for crying out loud, and that didn't work. One of the things I think that a lot of fans don't seem to realize is that there is more to the picture than just crowd reaction. You know, you can't pay your bills with boos or cheers. I've got some friends who have kids, one in particular, you know, who buys merch and things. And, you know, he loves Roman Reigns. He's 13 and he's part of the Roman Empire. And, you know, there have been, you know, some things reported from internally that Roman Reigns' merchandise numbers are strong. And that, you know, that's another analytic, you know, another part of the picture that WWE analyzes. You know, his merchandise numbers are strong. I bet you he has a very high Q rating. He presents himself very well. I mean, it's more than just what happens inside the wrestling bubble. It's also the perception from NBC Universal and their media partners and outside media entities, you know, putting Roman Reigns on the Today Show. I also think part of the problem, I think a lot of this has to do with Michael Strahan, because they go on Kelly and Michael a lot, the old Regis show, in the mornings. And, you know, they can't put Daniel Bryan as successfully next to Michael Strahan because he's a former football player. And, you know, the wrestlers have to be big. And I think that what they try to avoid is, you know, just a flippant comment that probably means nothing to the host or the audience, but would crush WWE if they were to say, oh, wow, you know, you're not as big as we expected, or, gee, how do you fight those big guys? You know, something like that. So I honestly think that Michael Strahan actually plays a role in this. Not a major role, but I think he plays something in it. You know, there have been also internal studies from WWE that you've reported on where you know, the Q rating, where Roman Reigns does really well from casual fans and things. So, you know, is there an issue with Roman Reigns being booed and seemingly rejected by the hardcore audience? Absolutely. But I don't think it's quite the disaster and quite as bad when you pull back and look at some of the more important critical numbers, like making money off of merchandise.
Well, Jim, you've laid out the checklist of reasons why I have not said cut Roman Reigns or even push him less. I have been consistent in saying push him differently and make him, and Todd Martin's made this case too, make him a heel first and go with the flow of what the paying fans who are in your buildings, at least at TV tapings on non-school nights, go with what they're listen to them. Listen to the fans. It doesn't have to be difficult. I think the core audience who are paying tickets to go to your shows, I think their opinion counts more than the women watching the morning chit-chat shows that WWE seems obsessed with appealing to. And I think you're right, Jim, in when you talk about what it is that WWE is worried about. But I would say, you know, and UFC is a different animal because, you know, the most successful fighters are not always the most charismatic. You know, Cain Velasquez is not going to light up the ratings on the morning chit-chat shows or on ESPN SportsCenter. But there's a guy, Conor McGregor, who does. And Conor, standing next to Michael Strahan, is tiny. But UFC's not worried about that. So I would say WWE needs to not worry about what some people watching morning chit-chat shows in a five-minute fluff segment are thinking and focus on, why are our ticket-paying fans and the people who are buying WWE Network and maybe ordering it and canceling it, what we need to listen to them more than we need to listen to what somebody on Wall Street or on a morning chit-chat show thinks about our talent. So I agree, Jim, in that that's their rationale for pushing Roman, but I also think you're going to sell good merchandise and do good numbers when your merchandise is featured at the stands, at house shows, when your merchandise is featured and pushed on the website. I think that whoever is getting the biggest push is going to do good merchandise numbers because WWE fans, as we see at house shows with the families, they want to buy the merchandise of whoever's getting the biggest push. So it's tough to say, well, because Roman's recognized in doing good merchandise numbers, that should justify his push. The other thing I wrote down besides that is it's not – Roman looks the part and – he's selling merchandise as a top push guy, as every top push guy does. But the issue is sort of the eyeball test that goes deeper than what somebody who doesn't really follow or study wrestling thinks. And that is what we talk about on the show every week and what callers say every week and what we write about at pwtorch.com. Roman has not been delivering on the microphone, and he has not been delivering in the ring. So you can look the part. A lot of first-round draft picks in the NFL look like they're going to be the next big quarterback. They look like they have the pedigree, but they can't read a defense. They can't stay healthy. And Roman Reigns is a guy who was so awful on the microphone that they kept him off the microphone leading into his main event match at the biggest WrestleMania of all time. And in the ring, he was very formulaic. He wrestles like a 13-year-old who created a video game character and has four favorite moves he does over and over again. I mean, there comes a point where WWE needs to not look at all the corporate metrics numbers that get spit out at them and fly the plane like an experienced pilot who's not deciding whether this turbulence is something you should fly through or fly under, so he pulls the people in the chairs in the back, the customers in the back. At some point, wrestling promoters need to be the pilot. They need to not group source their decisions and look at whether the guy they've picked can actually deliver. Now, with Roman, there's enough pluses. It's not the most insane thing in the world. They continue to push him. But there are obviously adjustments that need to be made, and part of that is what Rock wrote on Instagram, which is let the guy be himself and sink or swim that way, because he's sinking in this heavily controlled, tightly scripted corporate push that he's getting. When Sheamus was throwing forearms on him last night, I thought, he needs to get rid of that chest gear. It just looks ridiculous that he's out there wearing, I don't know, even what it looks like, a life preserver vest or a superhero action from American Gladiators, an action hero. It doesn't make sense. It almost seems unfair. And I think that it's good that they moved him out from coming through the stands, so he didn't seem like this privileged special kid who got a special ring entrance. But I also think they have more that they need to do. I'm not sure about changing his music. I'm not totally against it. I think that it might help to have new music to kind of indicate there's something, give this guy a fresh look. So I'm intrigued by Roman. His shortcomings are real. I'm not as worried about the chit-chat shows and how they react, even though I do think, Jim, you're right, that WWE is worried about that, because I don't think it affects Conor McGregor's drawing power that he's smaller than, quote, the hosts expect. So, Jim, any reaction to what I said there? And then we'll go back to our calls.
Yeah, I think the chest gear that Roman wears is for merchandising purposes.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reason that John Cena wears a baseball cap, a T-shirt, and various arm and wrist bands, is so that they can sell merch. You can sell, you know, different kinds of merch. So it's not just you have the T-shirt and you're on board with your favorite superstar. You know, you need, you know, more merch, more money, that kind of thing. And I think, you know, that's the reason he wears it, so kids can buy some sort of, you know, a replica chest protector. And, you know, that's why it's not going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah, you wonder when the corporate metrics are being analyzed in a boardroom by people who don't even watch the product, and they're spitting out, well, we need Roman to have some merchandise to sell, and they get this, you know, a 1% boost in their revenue, but they're taking a 12% hit in TV ratings, and they're having a high churn rate with the network, and the paying customers are booing the guy out of the building, and the chest gear is preventing him, or is contributing to the resistance fans feel towards him, because he does look like an American Gladiator corporate marketing machine that got spit out through some board metric meeting that, as I said, that was held by people who don't even watch the product and have never gone to a house show. I think that's a problem. And I think WWE goes down that corporate route of, let's analyze the metrics. Well, we need a chest gear to sell this. And it's like, well, but if that's all of that is contributing to the rejection of him by the actual people who pay money and are subscribing to the network and going to these tapings, that's a problem. And that's something that I kind of think WWE needs to be more aware of, that I think this corporate metric-driven approach and crowdsourcing and surveying their fans on, you know, what we should do. It's like, just be an experienced pilot who knows what you're doing and go with your instincts and listen to the crowd reaction of people who are actually paying for the product. But anyway, let's go to Nelson. Did we cover all your topics? I want to give you a chance to finish up if we did.
Well, one more thing, because I got to get ready to pick up my son.
Sure, of course, yeah.
This is about seeing. Not a problem. I loved your response, and great. That's why I'm a VIP customer.
Thanks.
This is pertaining to TNA and Global Wrestling, the Jeff Jarrett organization. What is going on with both organizations? TNA. I just stopped watching TNA. I was 4 weeks behind, and it's like I'm having trouble staying with the organization, because it's like they're taping shows way in advance, and a lot of us fans, due to the internet, we know the results. And I think that's maybe, you think this is a reason why they're going downhill? And with Global Wrestling, you know, with Jeff Jarrett, he keeps talking about it, and I don't see anything. They did some TV tapings back in August, and their shows are not on TV. Is he all talk, or is he having trouble getting a time slot? What is your opinion, guys? And
thanks.
Thank you so much. Go VIP, everybody, and have a great day, gentlemen.
Thanks, Nelson. Great comments. I thought TNA Impact's been much better this year. I too do not think taping far ahead, Jim, is a plus. It is a minus. But for TNA to exist, it's a requirement. They can't run weekly shows and stay afloat right now. So the best thing to do is avoid the spoilers, as you do for perhaps other shows that you binge watch, but don't binge watch the day they drop on Netflix or get recorded on your DVR. I don't think, Jim, I have not ever seen any evidence that taping shows far in advance is a significant detriment to TV ratings, because I think sometimes we greatly overestimate how many people out there are following spoilers. And so I don't think that's the biggest problem with TNA. Would it be better to be live? Would they have some extra viewers? Sure. But I think the price they would pay would be too great. But Jim, your thoughts on the state of TNA and the lack of progress with Global Force?
Oh, sorry. I was just getting ready to send this some extra gold that I have to a Jeff Jarrett. I'm sorry. Because I hear I'm going to make money with Global Force gold. I think the fact that Jeff Jarrett is pimping some sort of gold business, and there, I don't want to damage any relationships that you may have.
That's never stopped us from giving our honest opinion. Don't even apply it to us, Jim. You know you're allowed to talk freely. This is a torch.
I know I'm allowed to talk freely, but my thoughts on it are maybe even a little too free. Let's just say that I think it looks, it's not the image that I think a business person in his position would want to demonstrate. But I think that it's hard in the sense that there are a lot of media outlets out there, but, you know, yeah, you could maybe find a TV deal that pays something, but when you look at the production costs for what you need to have in wrestling right now, you know, that point is very high. You've got to have the video wall. You've got to have tremendous lighting. You've got to have, you know, a decent-sized arena, plus you've got to have cosmetic talent and great looking gear and championship belts and all of the accoutrements that go with it. That's the one thing that Vince has probably done that is more valuable than many people realize, is that it's so expensive now to get into wrestling that you've got to have all of those streams just to be able to support it and fund it. And at this level, in this day and age, it's really hard to get going. There are a lot of media channels, but there's not as much money out there as you might think. You know, for a show that's maybe on Netflix, you know, it's, you know, you already have sets, you already have talent and things like that. But with wrestling, you've got to start from the bottom. And I think that's been the challenge, is finding funding sources that can pay for all of the things that you need in 2016 to put wrestling on TV so it's acceptable and consumable to the masses. You know, yeah, there's some international deals, but those don't pay as many bills as he would probably like. And there's also, you know, the advertising. It's very difficult to find, you know, advertisers that will go on wrestling. And I like wrestling, you like wrestling, and I think wrestling's great. But unfortunately, due to actions of people like Vince McMahon and other people, they've ruined some of that reputation and some of that personal capital with people who don't watch wrestling, unfortunately. And it takes a lot to get those people to sit down and go, look, you know, decent families watch wrestling, and people with houses and mortgages watch wrestling, and it's just a fun thing that we do, and it's hard to break out of that stereotype in this day and age. And I think those are part of the challenges that Jeff Jarrett has, is even if he had all of the money in the world, there's a marketplace that has kind of been polluted through no fault of his own.
Very good. I did mention Todd Martin in our MMA coverage earlier. I want to give a quick plug for our sister site, MMAtorch.com. Tons of news every single day. It is the best way to keep up on the world of MMA with Jamie Pennick and company. They also have a reason to go there every day besides news and commentary and live event results, and that is the new daily top five list. Today, the top five finishes of 2016's first quarter. What were the best finishes in all of MMA in five big fights? I imagine there's a certain Conor McGregor on the receiving end of one of those top five finishes. Also, yesterday, the top five takeaways from Sunday's UFC Fight Night 86, Rothwell versus Dos Santos. Before that, the top five stories of the week, the top five quotes of the week, the top five preliminary card fights for April 2016. So much more. Check it out, MMAtorch.com. And right now, download the free app on your iPhone and Android. Search MMA Torch and download it to your phone for free and keep up on the world of MMA. Live event coverage, daily news, top five lists, editorials, and much more. That's MMAtorch.com. All right, Jim, do you have 10 more minutes to stay with us before we wrap up the show, or do you want to get back to the festivities?
No, I'm cool, man. We can hang out all day, man. It's been fun.
All right, very good. Let's go back to our callers then and go to Eric Code 210. 210, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys. James in San Antonio.
Hey, James, thanks for calling. What have you got for us?
Hey, yeah, enjoying the show today as always.
Thank you.
I got two things for you guys, just to kind of chew on a little bit, get your reaction to it. First, Bray Wyatt. I thought he was really good last night. I think he's got really good babyface opportunities. I think he did very good at getting the crowd involved. I thought his reactions were really good. Seemed like everybody was into it. So just want to see what you guys kind of think about that, see where he's going. And then I'll go and get my second one, and then I'll just listen to you guys. Bullet Club, I thought they had a good entrance. I'd like to see them get in something a little bit, I don't want to say better, but a little deeper into storylines than just the Usos. Just want to see what you guys think about the Bullet Club, see where they're going. I thought it was interesting that they did their little bullet sign on their hands and touched. So they are making references to Bullet Club.
Yeah.
And even, you know, Michael Cole was talking them up from New Japan. So I thought that was interesting. And do you see them going somehow into the tag team tournament? You know, from maybe they took out the Usos, might take their place.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe Goldust and R-Truth tonight at the SmackDown tapings end up not teaming up, because Goldust is feels scorned and isn't ready to dive into that team, and maybe they take their place, or maybe they just beat up one of the teams who are scheduled in the next first round matches. So yeah, that crossed my mind too. I'm intrigued by that. I will add, before I go to Jim for his thoughts on both of these topics, I thought Bray Wyatt was great as a babyface last night. I was impressed and encouraged. I thought that it was subtle. I talked about this on the Wade Keller Hotline and in my long VIP written report on Raw last night, exclusively at the VIP website, that Bray, in the way that match was laid out, didn't come across as if WWE corporate was saying, this is the new guy you're supposed to cheer, and you will do it, and we will push him at you until you do. Instead, it was subtle. It allowed the fans to organically get into his signature spots that previously were kind of cool, but you weren't encouraged to cheer him. And I thought it was a clinic on the contrast between babyface style and heel style wrestling. There were subtle things that Bray did after moves and a build-up to moves, the timing of when he did certain moves, that subtly made him a babyface in the eyes of the fans. We've all been thinking Bray was stale. Well, I won't speak for everybody, but a lot of us were thinking Bray had been stale as a heel, that WWE didn't really want to go places with that character, that I think a lot of us saw potential in. And he just kind of was spinning his wheels. And now, like I said earlier in the show, we're on a journey with him. Something is changing, and it's intriguing. I don't know where it goes, but I think that there's a good chance that Bray Wyatt ends up being a popular kind of Jake the Snake Roberts babyface act. And I thought last night was a really good move in that direction. Jim, your thoughts on both Bullet Club and the tag tournament, and also Bray Wyatt?
I think the fans have wanted Bray Wyatt to be a babyface for a long time. I think that it's sort of like the old days. It reminds me of when Randy Savage was a heel and the fans were just dying to cheer him. You can still have that dynamic even in 2016. I think it'll work well. I mean, hopefully Bray will finally get some wins and be at the top of the card where he belongs. I mean, if you could combine the fan support, Bray Wyatt's promos, and that quirkiness that he has, along with actually winning in the ring, I think you've got a great combination. We could be seeing, you know, a new version of, you know, not exactly, but I mean, the mega powers, in the sense that you have two top guys who work together, who have each other's back. They're the two top guys on the card, and, you know, they are the gatekeepers, the caretakers of the WWE. When something wrong happens, they're the law, order, and justice. And when they come together, you know it's about to go down. As far as the Bullet Club goes, I don't know, maybe it's because when they do the bullet symbol with the gun in Japan, it's maybe because the culture is different. It didn't even register with me, because it's Japan and things are different there, like with any culture. But when they did sort of, they made the gun and they like bumped knuckles, I was like, oh yeah, you can't do that in the U.S. Yeah, that's not going to go over, because, you know, won't somebody think of the children? So they'll have to come up probably with something else there, because you've got to be good corporate responsible people. But I'm curious if they've got enough color in the ring. I think, you know, I think Carl Anderson does. I'm not entirely sure about Duck Gallows, about Luke Gallows. I think that they're going to be, need to be part of a faction, and I think the sooner that they get with a Finn Balor or someone who can be the mouthpiece, I think the better. But we'll see where this is all going. And like, you know, you keep using the phrase journey, Wade, and I love that idea because I want to see some long-term compelling stories where it is a journey, where 1 week somebody is up and then the next week they're down, and then the next week they pivot in a new direction and they change the course of their story. I want to be taken along on those journeys as opposed to just dealing with shows in the here and now where everything happens in the course of the 3-hour Raw. And I think that that is going to be, that needs to be the trend for 2016, where you have a longer journey to take people on, that longer narrative. And I think that will hook people, and that's really the secret. We've seen it with Game of Thrones and Walking Dead, and you know, people were complaining about the cliffhanger that just happened. You know, that is the direction with television and with digital entertainment in this era. And WWE, always the late adopter with those types of things, needs to get on that bandwagon. And I think when they do that, I think they will see more success.
Very good. Let's go to area code 305 next. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys. DJ from Miami.
Hey, DJ. Thanks for calling. What have you got for us?
I got two questions. My first question is, do you guys ever think that Raw would be 2.5 hours and SmackDown, if they do a brand split, 2.5 hours? So they leave 15 minutes for Saints Row and then 15 minutes for the main event? That's my first thing. I got one more thing.
I got confused at the end. So you're saying each show might be 2.5 hours, and then what was the last part of that?
Oh, you know, like the intro. You know, like the intro is always 15 minutes, and then like you know the main event will be 15 minutes. And with those two hours, they can have solid, great wrestling because now they're bringing all the great people up from NXT. That's my first thing.
Okay, and what's your second thing, and then we'll get to it.
Okay, my second thing is, do you think that now that AJ Styles is against Roman, do you think that, I don't know, I don't see that AJ is going to win. Do you see that maybe Randy will come in, or do you think Brock will come in so we can have a great SummerSlam? Because I think Roman's going to be with Wyatt, you guys are saying, for a while, and go from there. But what do you guys think of that?
All right,
thanks, DJ.
Jim, your thoughts on Raw and SmackDown, the length of the shows changing. The problem with going 2.5 hours instead of 3 or 2 is you end up with a half hour that probably comes at the end of Raw, at the bottom of the hour, that has to have a high appeal to wrestling fans. And I'm just not sure that's, you know, most shows don't go 1.5 or 2.5 hours for a reason, so that's unlikely to happen. But I think, as we've seen, Jim, the last 2 weeks, 3 hours is a big handicap, but it becomes less of a handicap. That frustration with the length of the show gets mitigated when the show's actually good and compelling and wrestlers are on a journey and there's a thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I mean, the way the crowd popped for what they thought was Natalya beating Charlotte last night in Los Angeles, not Canada, by the way, was a testament to what Natalya and Charlotte and Ric Flair and the agents in charge, the producers in charge, put together in that match. For Natalya to get that kind of pop, it was like an old school, we think the babyface just upset the heel. That's a real credit to Charlotte's heel character, and maybe even a little Dr. Phil. But not to get too far off track, Jim, what do you think of that?
I think the only way we're going to see a half hour extra, you know, a half hour, 2.5 hour show in the modern era is if USA were to have some half hour show that they really wanted to push. But no, a show doesn't start at 10:30 at night. That's just too awkward of a time. I don't see that happening anytime soon. I do want to mention, we haven't touched on Charlotte. We probably should. I mean, she's such a quick learn. I mean, she's the only person. I mean, we've talked about this in the modern era where how hard it is to get real heat, and here she is doing it. And I think it's a yep. testament to one, her ability to be such a quick learn, because, I mean, let's face it, in the ring, she's very, very green still. Very athletic, very talented, and ahead of the curve, but still very green given her experience level. But also, I think that this is really a feather in the cap of Ric Flair and the fact that obviously he's working with her and giving her pointers and showing her and telling her what to do. You've said a lot about Ric Flair. I think you've been very rightful and very, very accurately critical about many of Ric Flair's flaws. But I think that who would have known that a guy that is as shallow as Ric Flair, warts and all, would be such an excellent coach and an excellent teacher. For her to get heat, I mean, yeah, they were
not according to Dr. Phil. Not according to Dr. Phil.
We'll cross that bridge. Give me one second. No, you're absolutely right. We do need to touch on that before we go. But I think it's really a credit to the legend and the legacy of Ric Flair that his daughter is doing so well based on his teachings and his advice, because she's doing a lot of the Flair tricks, and it's amazing. I mean, it does my heart good that there are still some things that are still some standards and some things in wrestling that always work. Those stalwarts work. And yes, they were cheering Natalya, but really a lot of it had to do with the heel work of Charlotte. I mean, and that was just amazing. I mean, she's got a long way to go, but man, she's doing great. It's amazing.
And I don't think that heel heat would have worked as well against somebody who wasn't as respected and admired as Natalia's. I think that there's a part of the fan base who go to Raw who see her as the being unfairly overlooked. And she's that ring general of the division now, has been for a while, and she's been working a lot with Charlotte behind the scenes. And I think that was a real team effort, and Charlotte is really good at playing her role. I don't think that works without Natalya playing. I thought, you know, we talked about Bray playing a good babyface. I thought Natalya did a great job in that match too, getting the fans not only on her side but also against Charlotte in the way that things played out. What do you think of Dr. Phil, Jim?
I didn't understand why he was there. Whenever they did guests in the past, it was always to, you know, pimp something. They've got a book, they've got a new TV show, they've got, you know, their new gold promotion that they're doing. I don't know. But I didn't understand why he was there, because he didn't seem to have anything that he was selling. I hope that they're not already planning on splitting up Flair and Charlotte, because that would be a terrible idea, because they're just getting going. It's very, very successful. There's a lot of journeys for them to go on, as you would say. There's so many things that can be done with them. To already go to the split up is just so ill-advised. And I hope that this was just an idea. Maybe Dr. Phil knows somebody and they were talking and just decided to put him on. I thought that, you know, it reminded me of like an 80s cameo where they had somebody who was, I mean, he was playing along fine, and, you know, he did the terrible, bad, cheesy wrestling acting, and he seemed to be game for it. I mean, I thought it was dumb. I didn't think there was a point to it, but he was, you know, for the kind of bank account that Dr. Phil has, I thought he was playing along and, you know, ribbon on the square just fine.
As I said in my Keller hotline last night for VIP members, there are people on Twitter who weren't sure who Dr. Phil was, you know, from Europe. And I said, well, let's put it this way. He's richer than Donald Trump. I mean, Dr. Phil is the most, right there with Oprah, the most successful syndicated talk show host of his generation. And getting him on the show, it's part of what I talked about earlier about the morning chit-chat shows and WWE wanting to seem that they're friendly territory. I think that they have a level of self-loathing that's based on pro wrestling being scorned and rejected by the mainstream as Vince McMahon was growing up in the 70s and what he experienced initially with the WWF in the 80s. That led to him almost being obsessed with striking deals with networks and the Rock and Wrestling connection and the MTV connection that Vince, I think, felt helped legitimize his brand. And he's going with what got him to the dance, and that is mainstream acceptance. And Dr. Phil's a big enough star, probably with part of the wrestling demographic. I didn't have a problem with the role that he played. I don't love it, but I thought that he played it straight. If wrestling were real and Dr. Phil were real, the way that they did it would have worked within the narrative structure. He didn't seem like some celebrities to be worried about his buddies looking at him, thinking that he thinks that fake stuff is real. I thought he played it well, and I got a little more into it on my Keller hotline last night. But, Jim, I've got Jason Paul standing by for the VIP after show, and you have a lot of activity that that is in the background that I want you to not miss out on. We'll have you on again a few weeks down the line on the live cast again and break down Ron and do more analysis. It's great to get your perspective, and I can't wait for the Lance Russell interview, and I just can't wait to hear Saturday Morning Wrestling to hear about this convention this weekend.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter. I'll be posting some more pictures with all the people that are here at Cauliflower Alley at Jim Valley. And if you haven't given Saturdays a listen, we try to make it a lot of fun. We talk memories. We talk things you like, talk things, you know, your pet peeves and, you know, different stories. I'm never going to have the big stars on the show. That's your deal, Wade, and I'm cool with that. But I promise that each guest is going to have, you know, great stories and great memories. You're going to learn something. It's going to take you back to your childhood, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. So it's, you know, just like all the live casts, it's more tremendous live and free content, and hopefully you can get some interaction. But it's Saturday mornings. It's 11:30 Eastern. It's 8:30 Pacific. You can listen live at the same place, pwtorchlivecast.com, with all the other great audio and great content. You can download it. And it's been a lot of fun. And I got to say this, Wade, one of the cool things about your show and the brand that you built, the platform that you built, is, you know, your audience is not only passionate and it's knowledgeable, but gosh, you've got such a diverse audience, different backgrounds, different everything. It's really great to get all of these perspectives from people, you know, in the Northeast and the South and the Midwest and, you know, it's different everything. It's really been great as far as, you know, I mentioned earlier that the stupid stereotypes of the wrestling fan. You know, listen to the show. You're going to meet some great people, get some great perspectives, and realize that, you know, there's a lot of people out there, just like all of us, who love the crazy, wacky world of wrestling.
Jim, thank you so much. Great to have you on the show, and we'll listen to you on Saturday morning. Have a blast. Say hi to McCarsh for me, and we will talk to you soon again on Tuesday, hopefully.
All right, man. Take care.
Excellent. Excellent. Jim spoke about the PW Torch livecast. We will, by the way, thanks to all our callers who followed us over to this new time slot. We are 4 hours earlier than we used to be, and our caller support is as strong as ever. I know it's more convenient for some of you, less convenient for others, but that comes with the time slot change. But it's good to hear some regulars and some new callers. We have 15 email questions waiting for us on the VIP After Show. Jason Paul is standing by to join me on that, the VIP After Show. So if you want to hear Jason's thoughts on last night's exciting Raw, we're going to focus almost exclusively on that. The email questions certainly focus on a lot of talking points coming out of last night's Raw. If you're not a VIP member, go VIP right now. It takes 90 seconds. You can be on board and find out what thousands of fans across the world know is worth paying for when it comes to wrestling coverage. I think what you'll really like about it is that there is, as Jim said, such a diverse array of options. It's not just the live cast lineup that you get as a VIP member in the after shows. You get ad-free access to this show, but also the every single day Wade Keller hotline, only for VIP members. The weekly shows that I host, the long-form discussions with Todd Martin and Bruce Mitchell, the post-pay-per-view roundtables, an hour-plus analysis after WWE pay-per-views that we record right afterwards and put up on the RSS feed for iTunes, iPhone, and Android right after pay-per-views, and our nostalgia shows, the 10 years ago VIP audio shows, the Attitude Era radio shows, Total Chaos Radio with Jim Valley, the late 80s through mid-90s Pro Wrestling Spotlight shows with John Arezzi, who was my guest on this show on a Thursday edition a couple weeks back, with my appearances back on that show in the early 90s. You can hear my analysis, a younger voice, but the same person analyzing wrestling in a similar format to this show. Ad-free access to our VIP website, which has all the content that's on our ad-based website, pwtorch.com. But pwtorchvip.com is ad-free, mobile-friendly, and gives you access to all the new VIP content we put up each week, including the new Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and over 1,400 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter with tons of inside, in-depth information, backstage locker room tidbits that you will not have read or heard anywhere else, roundtable reviews on every major pay-per-view since the late 80s, my star ratings on every pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, Bruce Mitchell's body of work with his stellar long-form monthly columns that have now changed into, in recent years, shorter weekly columns. There's so many reasons to go VIP. We'd love to have you as a member. You will enjoy analyzing wrestling with us, and there's just always something there for you. Whether you're digging into the archives or just refreshing the audio RSS feed of nearly 100 shows per month, it is absolutely worth it if you're a fan of the show to at least give it a try and see what it's all about. We've worked really hard the last 6 months to revamp the website, revamp the app. A year ago, we upgraded our audio quality. We added Todd Martin to the staff. We added the Wayback Playback Show with Jim Valley and Pat McNeil. So many improvements. We continue to grow and continue to get great feedback. If you go to pwtorch.com/govip and click on the VIP info link on that page, scroll down to the bottom and read testimonials from VIP members. These are real testimonials from actual people with Twitter handles or who have sent in emails to this show or to my email address. And it is absolutely worth reading those testimonials if you're not sure if this is for you. I think that VIP members can do a better job talking you into it than I can. That does it for me tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern. Pat McNeil with Drew McIntyre, TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Drew Galloway, I should say, joining Pat McNeil live tomorrow at 8 Eastern. So a special evening edition, an opportunity to call the show and participate. You can find all of our shows at PW Torch Livecast, and we will sign off with more details on the homepage, the new homepage for this show. No matter how you normally listen to the PW Torch Livecast, we invite you to check out the new homepage for this show at pwtorchlivecast.com. It debuted in January 2016, and it is a great headquarters for this program. It not only gives you access to download or stream the latest episodes of the PW Torch Livecast, the layout allows you to quickly and easily catch up on some of your favorite shows. Maybe you missed an interview, or maybe you missed a post-game show, or maybe you missed your favorite Friday show with Bruce and Travis. Whatever it is, it's easy to catch up on shows you missed with a great layout, great access to archives, and there's exclusive content not on the main RSS feed, including best of selections. The weekend of the Royal Rumble 2016, we put up our post-game shows for Royal Rumble 2015 and the Rumble 2016, with all the fallout from the reaction to Batista's win and Roman Reigns' win and the crowd reaction. Relive those moments or listen to them for the first time at pwtorchlivecast.com. Plus, we'll be adding free samples of VIP audio content and more. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. When you want to stream our show live, when you want to listen on demand to a recent episode, or dig deep into the archives and find older episodes, that's the place to go. pwtorchlivecast.com. Check it out. Bye.